morning and thank you for joining us. If you just missed the conversation we had with Minister Jeremy Harrison, we were talking about the announcement that came out yesterday. It wasn't necessarily a media release done by the government. It was a communication that was done to employees at Sask Power. It was employees of some of the coal mines in the province, helping them understand that not only will the province be committed to continue to use coal to produce electricity in the years to come, but there will actually be an investment in the expansion of some of the coal plants that we have here in the province as well. This makes sense. The province is not stepping away from its goal that they're committed to of net zero grid by 2050. So that the province remains committed to the goal of net zero by 2050. But we need to be very realistic in how we produce our energy in the province. Coal is a substantial part of electricity production. And you don't need me to talk about why we need electricity. We heat our homes. There's so many different ways. And we heard Minister Harrison talk about this, if we were to focus on some kind of a new build with regard to using gas, for example, as a cleaner form of producing electricity, it would likely be double the cost of what the investment is in enhancing the life of these coal plants. It is really about energy security and reliability. So you're going to have people on two different sides on this. And I've mentioned the phone lines. Happy to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. Where are you at on this? Do you agree it's a good idea? Or are you a person that is saying this is ridiculous? Coal is bad. Coal is dirty. This is counterintuitive to the direction we're supposed to be going. And I would rather spend the money, even if it's double the money, to find alternate ways to basically meet our needs from an electrical grid reserve. The minister talked about unreliability of solar. We don't have the infrastructure set up for it now. Same with wind, electrical generation. The more natural forms of energy production are absolutely 100% part of the overall picture here. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that. But we're not at a point. We need to be realistic. And this is where I'm going to say I give the province credit. Because you need to be realistic. And at one time, the province said, yep, we're on board. We're on board with where Ottawa wants to go on this. Don't forget, 2012 was when this discussion started. Stephen Harper's federal government passed some new regulations to see the end of most coal-fired power by middle of the 21st century. 2016, Justin Trudeau's government passed, I would say, even stricter regulations requiring all coal-fired power stations closed after 50 years of operation or by 2030. So the province was originally on board with that, but sometimes you've got to step back and say, this is not realistic. We can't jeopardize the security of our electrical power grid to hit a standard or a goal that is unachievable. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. You agree with the decision the province has made on expanding the life cycle of coal and the use of energy production? 1-877-332-8255. And welcome to the Evan Bray Show. Great to have you here. We've been chatting about the fact that yesterday we learned that the Saskatchewan government informed Crown employees it will extend the life of all of its coal-fired power plants. We just had Minister Jeremy Harrison on the show to talk about it, and he explained it really is about energy security and reliability as we build towards the nuclear program. But that is, we know that's a decade plus away. And so knowing that we've got coal here in abundance, knowing that it is something that we own, and knowing that doing what we're doing, even with the expansion of the coal mines to ensure that the life cycle meets up with this transfer of energy, is less than half of a new build if you were to transition into something like more gas. It makes sense to me. There are so many ways in which this does. I know there are people that don't agree. Jason in Regina said, I find the continuance of coal-powered electrical plants in our province really quite maddening. The very least we could do in the near term is convert existing coal to natural gas. It's like we live in the dark ages sometimes in this province. Do you think that, Jason, even knowing it's going to be a lot bigger price tag? Are you willing to dig into your wallet at the sake of clean electricity and climate? 1-877-332-8255. There are a number of people saying they applaud this decision. Less in Corning is one of them. Wind and solar, not sustainable. And absolutely, I applaud the decision to stay with coal. Helen in Saskatoon, we need power for everything. Wake up, people. We're plugging in more and more, and the system is not ready. We need more time to get rid of the coal to make the transition. And then she goes on to say, I love having power to keep warm in the winter. Don't we all? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to the phone. I want to take Ken's call in Estevan. How are you today, Ken?
Good, Evan. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You agree this decision, don't you?
You betcha. I was one of the guys who went to Ottawa the first time with coal on my truck. I've talked to Mo numerous times about keeping coal. I've talked to SAS Power guys about keeping coal. This is the best thing Mo's done since he got into power. To keep coal, it's reliable, it's cheap. People don't realize how far coal reaches away to different businesses. Regina, Saskatoon, Edmonton, Calgary. It's all over. Nipawin. And people that don't understand what coal is, they need to come down to Estevan. I took you on one of the tours here.
Yep, Westmoreland.
They can go on a tour and see coal and SAS Power during the summer months. So people in the cities need to wake up and realize that coal is still the cheapest, best source of power there is. It's going to be here a long time. It's going to be here for years and years and years. Gas doesn't cut it. Gas is expensive over coal. Hydro, they got two dams or two power plants, I think, parked basically because there's no water. So coal is the cheapest, most standard power supply there is in the world. If it wasn't, look at China and them, all the plants they're building.
Well, for sure, Ken. And I mean, I think, you know, there's points made by Minister Harrison in terms of it's a resource that we own. We have been able to make steps towards using coal, but producing a cleaner form of energy with carbon capture and things like that. So extending the life cycle of the coal mines, is it a good thing? Do you welcome this decision? I'm going to stay on the phone lines. Go to North Battleford, where I was actually in person on Tuesday afternoon. Dick, I was in your great community on Tuesday.
Well, thanks, Evan. Sorry I missed you there. But, you know, I'm yes and no on this effect here, because the nuclear reactor, like the SMRs, are very small units in megawatt size. But to maintain a power system, you have to run a spinning reserve, which means you have a generator or combination of generators running at whatever your largest generating unit is. Say if you have the biggest one that SAS Power may have would be a 300 megawatt unit. So therefore, you got to have 250 megawatt units running, you know, supplying electricity that's not being used, just in case if that largest one fails, you have a brownout. You lose the whole province at that time, and then it takes many hours to pick everything back up again as you go along.
You got some expertise in this, Dick. What do you what do you do for a living?
A little bit of stuff. I'm an ex SAS Power employee.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been being a union member, we've been trying to get you know, this nuclear investment and information in. And And like I said, they were just making big units back when I was involved, and there was nothing to match up or blend up with it. There would be potential for another hydro project. I think it was being worked on, or called the Highgate project around Battleford, and you don't hear anything about that. Instead of the SAS party government spending millions on this irrigation project, why wouldn't they do it on another hydro project, supply water to all the communities, the small towns, the RMs, the reserves, the resort villages, which now everybody has their own water treatment plant. You could have a large plant servicing everything there,
right?
You know, but I never hear anything about any other hydro projects coming on.
Well, we'll appreciate your comments and appreciate your expertise too. Clearly, you've got some background, some history in it, and I think that is outstanding. So we appreciate you calling in. Some people are saying, you know what, we got to move away from coal, and I think my next caller is one of those people. Dan in Humboldt, how are you today, Dan?
Good. I just want to say that, you know, the fact is that every 1.5 minutes, the sun provides enough energy to run the earth for an entire year. So even though the technology is not perfect and it's not cheap and all the rest of it, it's, you know, you got to think of economies of scale. If we had enough solar on people's roofs and we had enough backing from the provincial government to keep the solar on their, you know, on the people's roofs. About 5 years ago, Scott Moe slashed the subsidy, or the payment, not subsidy, the payment for solar energy in half. So it used to be you produce 1 kilowatt, you get 1 kilowatt back from Sask Energy. Now it's half of that, from Sask Power. Now it's half of that. So you need to embrace the change. And with economies of scale, prices of solar and wind and nuclear will come down. The more you build, the more the prices will come down. So, you know, it takes the government to go in the lead, and instead, Scott Moe once again chooses to follow, you know, the dictators of the world, the Chinas and the, you know, the people that are wrecking the world. So choose to lead or choose to follow.
Dan from Humboldt, with his comments, obviously very much in favor of leaning into solar power, and talking about the government can take the lead, providing incentives, even if it's not on a provincial scale, but for you and your home to convert it to get solar energy into your home, powering your home. There's ways that government can incentivize that. So this discussion in many ways comes down to the way you feel about the balance between environmentally friendly energy production and the cost, and what that looks like over the next decade. The province is going to be transitioning to nuclear. That's a given. They have, Sask Power has a nuclear wing of Sask Power that it is creating, but it's a long ways away. So the question is, how do we get there, and how much does it cost to get there in between now and then? This is a great bridge to the future, says Brian in Estevan. Without this, we are buying coal-fired plants in North Dakota. Sorry, we are buying from coal power plants in North Dakota. Mike in Pilot Butte, I think ramping up coal production is the wrong decision. They should be putting our money into getting nuclear energy online. I think they are. I think it's just a little bit further away than we would like. I'm going to grab another call before before a break. Let me take this call from Mike in Regina. How are you, Mike?
Good, Evan. My only comment was that the minister's not mentioning the fact that I think that the nuclear option may be a lot more expensive than they think. It's so far in the distance that we've seen costs escalate for everything. I think it makes more sense to use natural gas as your base power, knowing that that nuclear option may not come in even by 2050, and you're never going to get your grid to carbon neutral if you're relying on coal as your base power source over the next 30, 40 years.
So the aspiration to get to net zero through the transition to nuclear, Mike is saying, might be a little more expensive than the province is counting on. And so even though the transition to gas now is more costly than coal, it's a step in the right direction, gets you closer to it. The conversation is great. I didn't get, obviously, to a fraction of the texts that came in, but I've got them here. We'll try and weave them in through the rest of the show. As always, I appreciate you joining the conversation. You're listening to 980 CJME. and 650 CKOM.